Are you feeling okay? Because you're like breathing pretty heavy, like you're struggling.
No, it's trying to breathe through my nose loads at the minute, and it's like can't struggle. So I'm out of breath, and then I try, and then I'm trying to breathe through my mouth. I'm really trying to get over breathing through my mouth. It's not good for your teeth.
It's not good for anything.
It's not good. For me at the minute, it's not good at all, because especially sleeping at night is where I'm trying to do it the most, and stop sleeping at night with my mouth open. I just wake up and it's just shit in your mouth, all over your teeth.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Disgusting. I know what you mean.
So I'm trying to consciously breathe from my nose, but I struggle and I can't.
I feel bad now because you've like taken half of fun out of this. I wanted to give you some shit about it first, and then like, and then I wanted to like tell you why you need to be doing what you're already doing. But that's a good thing, right? And I've got a book at home that I'll bring it down. I'll bring it in work on Monday and my mum can give it to her.
Yeah.
It's called The Oxygen Advantage, and it's basically why you should be doing what you're doing, and it gives you exercises to do and how to improve your breathing. Because you want to breathe through your nose. Your nose is for breathing, your mouth is for eating and talking shit.
Yeah.
Because your nose has got, obviously everyone remembers the tiny little hairs of cilia in your nose that help clean the air that you're breathing in to help with infections and that, but also your sinuses produce a lot of nitric oxide. Now, anyone who's been in the gym and had a pre-workout or a pump 9000 whatever supplement will know that nitric oxide increases your vasodilation and increases like your nose nostrils expanding so you can breathe better. Like, if you've got a blocked nose, if you start breathing through your nose at first, it'll be more difficult. But then eventually it'll get easier and easier each time.
Mm-hmm.
But also, nitric oxide is antimicrobial. There goes that bloody gerbil. Antimicrobial. So it's not just the cilia that's catching dust particles and stuff to clean the air that's coming in, but the nitric oxide in your sinuses are killing nasty little infectious little bacteria or whatever. So that is why you need to be breathing through your nose. Because like you were saying, breathing through your mouth, it messes up your teeth, and also your mouth's full of bacteria, and like, so you're actually breathing in possibly bad bacteria into your lungs. So that's why you always be breathing through your nose. So this book that I'm going to give you is called The Oxygen Advantage.
Okay.
Right. And if anyone wants to check it out, on my website, I've done a review of it, and it's got a link to Amazon. And if you buy it through that link from Amazon, then I'll get a little kickback. So Amazon don't pay their taxes, but if you go through my Amazon link that's on my website, yobudha.co.uk, that's yobudha.co.uk, there's a review that I did a while ago, and then in that review there's a link that goes to Amazon if you want to buy the book. It's called The Oxygen Advantage, and it explains to you all this in great detail, and it gives you the gives you the exercises as well, gives you an exercise plan on what to do. Well, but here's one to do now. It's basically, the longer you hold your breath on an exhale and you do it through your nose, that'll increase the production of nitric oxide, but also humming as well. Increases the nitric oxide production in your nostrils. So do this one now for me, right? Get your fingers over your nose, right? Like, don't close them yet. Don't close your nose yet.
Okay.
Right, take a regular breath in, and then breathe all the way out through your nose, just relax. And then hold your nose, count to five, and then let go, and then breathe in, but try not to like suck air in, like just try and breathe in normally. And then do that one more time from it, and then see if the second time your nose feels like less blocker, like it's easier to breathe. Because while you're holding in an exhale, you're producing more nitric oxide.
So it was definitely a little bit better as well.
Yeah.
Clear your nose. If you're going to do that, clear your nose out first, because sniffed up a boger.
Yeah. That's why. Nice. That's why I was trying to say, like, try not to, like, breathe in fast, but like, because you do get the urge because you've been without oxygen. Your body's like, breathe, bitch. And
yeah.
Like, but you have to like fight that urge to like
No, I felt that in the second time, because yeah. I breathed in and I breathed out, and I was like,
yeah,
and after all this, and then it just went straight up.
Panic. Yeah. But it's all about, as well, it increases, it helps with athleticism as well, because the more you can get used to that, your body's like panic feeling of not having enough oxygen and having that carbon dioxide build up in your blood, that's what causes that panic, that feeling and that uncomfortable feeling when you're holding your breath, or even when you're doing exercise and you're not getting enough oxygen.
Yeah, definitely.
Because you know, like that builds up, your tolerance to it builds up.
Yeah.
You can do that just by breathing or holding your breath. So you can get a good workout in just holding your breath. You can increase your aerobic capacity without doing any exercise apart from these breathing exercises, because there's a little bit of the science from the book. You know when you go to the doctors and you get like that thing put on your finger and it does your pulse and it's got that other number on that's your oxygenation level of your blood?
Yeah.
That rarely goes below 99 to 95. If it's lower than that, then it usually means you're really ill. So there's always enough blood, oxygen in your blood, but that oxygen doesn't always get to your muscles because it's the carbon dioxide buildup that... Hang on, I'm saying this wrong. In fact, I'm going to stop right now. But anyway, the long and short of it is, the more your carbon dioxide builds up in your blood, the more that tells your body to shuttle the oxygen to your muscles more.
I'm starting to pick up a little bit, but go for it, follow the link, have a look at the book, have a read of the book, if it's definitely something you're interested in. But I think we kick-started this podcast and Paul was going to take the piss out of me a little bit for something, for me breathing. I knew something was coming, but it was just, you asked me the question that I'm really focusing on at the minute.
That's
madness. As much as I'm focusing on my training, it's something I'm focusing on, because even when I'm sat there with my girlfriend, if I'm sat there and she'd be going, "Are you all right?" And I go, "Why?" And he was like, "Because sometimes I'll be sat there and I'm that comfortable, I'd be like..." And that's how I'll be breathing.
Yeah.
And she's like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "Why? What are you on about? Like, I don't hear it."
You've tuned out.
Yeah, and so, and then it comes into, I'll sit there and I feel myself like in a position where I'm breathing heavy through my mouth. I'm like, I sound like I'm really unfit, but I'm don't get me wrong, I'm not the fittest person in the world, but I'm definitely not unfit. So I'm like, why am I sounding like this? And it's just the way that I'm breathing. So I'm constantly now trying to be conscious of sitting upright as much as I can when I'm trying to breathe through my nose properly. When I'm trying to get the breath, I'm sat up properly.
Are you getting that proper deep belly breath as well?
It's funny you should say that, because a friend of mine put a post up the other day. It was a friend of mine called Callum. He put something up about breathing before you're going to lift, and how sucking up your chest really high is not going to help as much as exhaling out and getting it from the gut and filling up the air. It's like what I say to my clients, and I picked up from you: fill your air, fill your lungs full of air, and also your stomach. Fill it up with air. And I was like, "What's going on about your stomach?" Because you used to tell me before deadlifting, it was like, "Fill your lungs full of air." And anyway, your stomach. I was like, "Did he just say stomach to me?" I'm trying to concentrate on that. I'm going, "My stomach. What are you going on about?" And then you explained it to me, and it was like, "Fill your stomach and your abdomen area up with that air." And exhale, and you'll see a lot of people go right in the gym, they're about to lift, they go, pump the chest up, and they're like, what are you doing pumping your chest up? Like, suck in the air, breathe it in, into your abs.
Yeah, that's just into the top of your lungs, because you remember, you've got your diaphragm underneath your lungs, and that's the muscle that really controls your breathing.
That's another thing I've got, hiccups is your diaphragm.
Yeah, your hiccups is your diaphragm spasming.
Correct.
But, so when you're breathing in, that's, the way it works is it sort of pulls down. So it pulls like you've got like a, say you've got a pump.
It
pulls as in like you're pulling out and it draws the air in.
Yeah.
But if you're keeping a tight stomach and you're like sucking in your gut constantly, then you're not going to get that full deep breath, because as your diaphragm pulls down, all your intestines move a little bit as you're breathing down. That's why I say fill your abdomen. So as you breathe, inhale, you've got to let your abdomen relax, so that there's room for everything to move around and you can get a full deep breath into the bottom of your lungs.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've forgotten what I was going to say after that.
Well, it's another thing that's vital to training. I'm not even going to emphasize too much on it, but it's also breathing helps with lifts. It really does help with lifts.
Mm-hmm.
being out of breath and not being able to time your breathing during a set is really going to have an effect on that set. So learning to breathe properly, breathing through the right channels, which is one thing that I'm learning at the minute. I'm sick of being bummed up at the minute, so it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to, like, because you've got all sorts of goddamn flu going around everywhere.
Well,
so.
Well, that little technique I showed you before, and if you throw in a bit of humming, then that'll help with unblocking it.
Just make sure your curtains are short. If you're going to do it in the living room, people are looking at you, you've got your fingers up in your air, and you're going, breathing through your nose, and you're going, breathing through your nose. I don't know why I've got my fingers up in the air with them coding into a circle, but
why was someone looking through the window when you were doing it before?
Yeah, because we're filming in the living room with the curtains open, and someone was just walking past and just looked at me, kind of could see him out of the corner of my eye. I didn't want to distract me too much, so I was like, next time make sure someone's not staring at me. Or just shut the curtains
next time.
But yeah, go for it, practice the breathing and give it a definitely help me at night as well, because this is another thing you might have heard on the last podcast when we were talking about sleeping, and that's another thing that helped me out, was breathing properly when I'm trying to sleep. And I know it might sound daft, and a little thing is I look to when my head's on the pillow, just lifting my chin up and opening
yeah, I know what you mean.
I can't remember what the word is, but he's opening my breathing channel, so not trying to breathe with my chin down at my chest and trying to think. If your chin's down on your chest, right, and you're trying to get all comfy, and that's when that starts to happen, and you're like, you're gonna get a whack to the back of the head off your missus because you just woke her up, or you're just gonna wake yourself up. So, for me, it was tilting the head back, and it's opening some kind of path. It's from what I was reading, I can't remember. It's a pathway that's opening, and it helped me a lot trying to breathe.
Yeah. Well, that was a fun start to the episode. I didn't think it was going to go that way, but that was good.
I knew you had something planned for me. Yeah. So, again, we're going to throw in some questions. We said around two, didn't we? We've got quite a few coming in, so...
We might fit some more in, but I think that last one's going to, like, we'll fold in some of the other questions.
Because I got a lot of questions off people. They weren't duplicating the question, but it was in the same area, so we might as well, once we throw one question out there, if you've put a question and you might hear yours involved in that question, it's not going to be separate. They're all not going to get answered if they're in that same area of fitness or whatever you've asked us. So what we're going to do, we'll go for the first question. This is going to be from @KieranWilliams96. Also, congrats, mate. He's just qualified as a personal trainer, so props to you there, mate, because it is tough trying to get through that, especially in anatomy and physiology. I struggled with that one. Well done, mate. So his question was, what would you say is the best way to improve your deadlift to hit a new 1RM?
Bestest way. Well,
I mean, before you kick that, because you're kind of doing it at the minute, aren't you?
Well, no, I'm planning on doing it next month. Like, so, this month's been just trying to get my fitness back, trying to do work on a little bit of, like, cardio and my aerobicness. But then next month, I'm going to do a powerlifting phase, and one of my goals for this year is to get my deadlift over 200, and my squat at 170, and my bench at, I don't know, what do you think would be a good time for a bench? I don't know about a bench, but anyway...
What's the best way? So the best way, there's many, not many best ways, but there's a few best ways to go about this. I'll just give you two for me that helped me, because obviously last year I was training in a powerlifting program and doing like a non qualified comp, so it was just a friendly comp. So for me, deadlift is one of my most favorites. I really do love deadlift, so rack pulls helped me a lot, in the way of, because this is another thing that I looked into when I was struggling to, when I was plateauing, I weren't getting my 1RM anywhere near where I wanted it to. Someone suggested rack pulls, so I looked into it, and at the top of a deadlift, where you see a lot of people trying to hitch or wriggle and get that up, that action from thigh to fully extended chest out, at the top of a deadlift, is the rack pull movement. So for me, it was mentally as well. If I knew at the time it was 225 kilos going for my deadlift, so I knew at the time if I could rack pull 250 or 235, and I could rack pull it from that position and I'm struggling up to the top, and I know in my mental state that I know I can get that weight up, then that helps me a lot. Because when I get to the top, and instead of wriggling and jerking and hitching,
I knew from practicing rack pulls that I could pull that 225 from that position to the top, no problem. So that was one thing that I would suggest, is going rack pulls, putting some heavy session rack pulls in there, but also going through the motion of a rack pull, obviously not so heavy. And also 5x5s. You might drop this into what's going to help you, but for me, 5x5s helped me a lot with my deadlifts. And obviously, it's strength. It's kind of the strength training, but I couldn't, if I had to narrow it down for me anyway, personally, if I had to narrow it down, it was rack pulls and going through 5x5s at 75-80% of a 1 RM trying to get through them. And that really helped me, because it got me 5x5s. I'm not being funny, but they're pretty grim. Like, for me, they were pretty grim. I was getting to my fifth set, and I was like, rah, I can't lift this. But then at the same time, again, mentally,
I took too much then.
Well, I probably was lifting a bit too much, and this is one thing where Paul does sometimes knock me down and go, stop being a tit and stop abusing and lifting too much. Train smart. So it does happen to me. As much as it happens to other people. So sorry, I was getting lost there. But yeah, 5x5s. Near the end, I was like, right, I can't fucking pull this. This is heavy, this. But then that mentality of me getting through that fifth set was, when I got to me 1 RM, I was like, I can't do this. Oh wait, yeah, I can, because I just grueled my way through 5x5s a couple of weeks before. Suppose, yeah. So for me, that's how I felt. I thought, when it gets to the point where I can't pull this 1 RM, I'm like, yes, I can pull this 1 RM. So for me, rack pulls and 5x5s helped physically, but it also helped me mentally to get me 1 RM up.
I see what you're saying. Well, do you know this guy?
Yes.
Yeah. So do you know where he's at with his? What is that like?
I know exactly where he's at. His form and technique is very good. It's very good. It's not in the way of where I could go up to him and just be like, maybe you should do this, maybe you should do that. If anything, I'd go up to him and just be like, come on, man, you can get this. There's nothing where I need to change in his deadlift. He's got very good technique and form.
Well, the only reason why I'm asking was because, like, we don't want to be given, like, specific to this guy. But what I'm thinking is, like you were saying about rack pulls helping a lot, in general, it might not be like that. Might not be your sticking point. You might have a bit of trouble the initiation, just getting it off the ground in the first place. You might, like you're saying, it might be the midpoint. It might be the top. You might need to work on that. But identifying where your weak point is probably the best thing when it comes to something like that. But like you were saying, yeah, as a general thing for strength training, 5x5 is probably the best way to go. It's the way I'm gonna go. Like, I'm going to start off with 5x5, probably do like 3 weeks of that. Like, I think sticking to my main lift, the deadlift, squat and a bench, and my overhead press as well. So I'm going to be working, like you were saying, like 70 to 80% or more, one rep max. But I shouldn't be, like you were like struggling with that really last one. You shouldn't be struggling that much, because one of the main principles of 5x5 is you're getting a lot of volume in, you're getting a decent weight, but you're not overly straining yourself too much. You should still be having great form on the fifth rep of your fifth set.
Mm-hmm.
Should all, like, theoretically, in a perfect world, should be the same as your first set of your first rep of your first set. Because you don't want to be losing form. You want to be working on the skill and the movement rather than just stressing the muscles. So, working in a lower rep range and concentrating on your form and not necessarily just ripping as much weight off the floor as you can and stressing yourself out all the time. Because the way I'm going to do it, it's like I say, I'm going to do like 3 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks of 5x5 on the main lifts, and then I'm going to like take it down to like 6 or 8 sets of singles or doubles, and then just to really like tax my central nervous system, give it something to really work with. So the first 3 weeks are going to be working on the form, and the training, the frequency is like mostly skill, and then after that I'm going to work on just stressing my central nervous system to force it to adapt, and then I'll move on to something completely different, I think, by then. But then depending on what my one rep max is by then, because like I said, I want to get over 200 this year on my deadlift. And then, but as you were saying, like, rack pulls are good for you. Kettlebells were really good for my deadlift.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you think the kettlebell swing is a dynamic deadlift, really.
100%.
Yeah, yeah, so, because it's exactly the same movement, except you're swinging rather than lifting. So you can really work on your explosive power, which is what you want for powerlifting. Explosive power, that's where the power comes from. You want to explode off the ground. That and windmills like you were doing today, because the windmills really help tighten up your trunk, your core.
Yeah, just a little, Paul introduced me to windmills a while ago and messing about with them a little bit, but now I'm really into them. I'm like, geez, I love them. I love the windmills.
One of my favourite exercises.
Yeah.
If you're looking to up your, like, increase your one rep max, what is that noise?
the guinea pig
making weird noises, distracting me. Yeah. Lower reps, higher weights. 5x5, you want a decent weight and you want to concentrate on your form more than just ripping weight off.
So
I told you how I'm going to go about my strength training.
So, Kieran, there's a few things to go out there. Maybe, because I know you're very good with your deadlift, so mix it up. Try the kettlebells. If we do meet up in the gym, then I'll show you what Paul means by the kettlebell swing.
That's one of the things I should have qualified, like giving the kettlebell advice. You really want to make sure you're getting your form and execution correct on your kettlebell swing, because there's a lot of people doing it wrong. A kettlebell swing is a swing. You're swinging from the hips and you're hinging, and it's the hinging action that creates the swing from the arms. You're not doing a squat and a front shoulder raise.
I was saying, what's he telling me? A kettlebell swing is not a squat and a front deltoid raise. That's not a swing.
That's not a swing, no. a squat and a delt raise is not a swing.
So, just for people in for a deadlift swing, should we say a kettlebell swing, where you're going to feel it the most? Because, like I said, people are going to go, do deadlifts, it hurts my shoulders and my legs and... So I'm like, does it ever really hurt your glutes or your lower back? No.
So that's where you should be. It shouldn't really hurt there.
Well, not really.
That's where you should be feeling the work coming from your glutes, your quads and your lower back. Your arms are just there to guide the kettlebell. You don't lift the kettlebell whatsoever. It's the firing of your glutes, squeezing them really fast, and then along with your quads, that fires your arms and the kettlebell forwards, and then your arms are just sort of guiding it. Your arms are just there to make sure it doesn't go through
the mirror in the gym or back of someone's head.
Actually, I don't know if I've done a full like a swing tutorial on my YouTube, but I'll link to my YouTube. If I've done a swing one, I will link to that in the show notes.
Yeah, I'll link it to the little ones that we did in
Ian's execution is not perfect. I remember now how tight your hips were in the kettlebell swing.
I'd love to see that video, actually, because I feel like they've gone a bit looser totally.
Yeah, but they're very tight, but it's not perfect. But yeah, I did do the tutorial.
Yeah, so have a look at that tutorial, because like I said, Paul is the kettlebell expert, and I'm very much a beginner, like most of you guys maybe. So watching me do that, it's you're not watching two professionals like go at something and go, oh, they make it look easier. You want to watch me do this. Like Paul said, my hips are tight and everything's different. So you're looking at, it's literally Paul is teaching a client who's never done kettlebells before. So
that's why I did some videos with my mum.
Yeah, well,
so I've got some kettlebell videos where it's me teaching my mum.
Yeah, because there's too many videos out there where everyone's doing it perfect. And it's like, not everyone can do it like that, so... We mix it up like that, but just to break it down quickly then, Kieran, at Keza Williams 96, give 5x5s a try. Like Paul said, you get your kettlebell swings in. Rack pulls are also another one to give a try, and also just getting that technique conforming. So thank you very much for the question, mate.
Right, what's the next question?
So the next question is from my beloved other half, from at Zoe Bancroft, and she's asked, how do I get toned arms without looking manly? Now, it is a very, very good question.
It's also a very stupid question.
It is a very stupid question in the way of what is toned. It's not stupid that you've not asked a stupid question, it's a stupid question that gets asked a lot, is I want to tone. All right, well, what's toning, Bob?
What is toning your muscles?
What is toning your muscles? How do you tone a muscle?
Well, if you think about a relaxed muscle as having a low frequency signal being sent to it, the tone, your tone is the frequency, right? Mm-hmm. And then a tight muscle has got a tighter frequency, it's going more often. So you know that trick that you do where you hold your arms out straight in front of you, mm-hmm. and you do like a couple of curls with one. You do like, just pump that arm, just pump that arm. And then you put your arm out and, oh, it's shorter than the other one. Yeah, that's because your bicep's tighter now. You've just increased the frequency of the signal going to your muscle to make everything tighter. And now it is toned. That's all that toning is. So like, if you just want to tone something, just like move that muscle about.
Get a pump
on. Yeah, just get them, just wave your arms about for a bit.
I think toning, if you want to get toned, get a pump on.
Yeah.
It's, so I think...
No. Basically, toning is bullshit.
Yeah.
Toning is just marketing bullshit that people made up in the 80s for women that don't want to look manly, in air quotes. That's the other thing about this question, Zoe. I'm sorry, but I'm going to come at you right now. What the hell does manly arms look like?
Yeah, I know. That I think we're going to say big biceps, big triceps, and bulging. I think what the question revolves around is when she's saying toning, it's definition is the word.
Definition is the word
that should be replaced. How do I get more defined without looking manly instead of toned? So,
well, it all depends what you think. What you mean by looking manly? What does manly mean?
It's
more the fact that society has associated muscular defined arms with manliness.
Correct. So it's, what's your view on manly? What do you believe is manly? So for us to say, try this, do that, it's only you then can go up to the point where you'll go, nah, for me, that's too manly. But for somebody else where you stopped, they could go on a little bit more and go, that's just the right amount for me. That's not manly, it's not. So it all depends on what you class as manly. Mm. So wherever your threshold is to what's manly and what's not, what's more feminine, you have to revolve it around that. So toned arms, like I said, it's more defined. How do I get more defined arms?
Yeah, that's what most people mean these days when they say toned. They're thinking, they mean more like
definition,
defined.
Yeah, definition of, so let's say bingo wings. That's what they want to get rid of. Most people want to get rid of my flappy bingo wings.
That's what they mean by tone up. They mean I want to get rid of my bingo
now,
wings.
Now, I'm not being funny, right? But I've been fat, I've been thin, I've been put muscle on. If I stand there and start flapping my arms, right? I've got all right triceps, I think. My arms still flap underneath. Like, I'm a human being. Like, I'm not some sort of alien. And I'm not also 5%, 3% body fat. And I'm just about to go on stage where if they shook their arms, then all their arms would move. Like, I have got flabber moving under my arms. It's the way it goes. But how does somebody work it down a little bit? How do they get it a little bit more defined? Now, again, it comes with anything. Defining body parts. How do you? Because a lot of people go, I want to get my stomach really defined, that bottom of my stomach. And it's like, for a lot of people, the bottom of the stomach is where they hold on to most of the fat. That's where the last bit of the fat comes from. There's a lot of people lose it off the face first. I hold on to it at the stomach. So how do I get more defined? How do I get more definition in muscles? And for me, my answer would be diet, training, dropping body fat, and you will see definition. You've got to be dropping body fat. You've got to be also weight training as well. Don't just be doing cardio and expect it all just to fall off. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I forgot what I was going to say now.
Mixing the workouts up. Weight training. Listen, for the girls out there, so what I spoke to Paul before we put the podcast on is, for a lot of girls out there, if you pick up a weight, you are not going to turn into the Hulk. You are not going to be Arnold Schwarzenegger. Listen, it's so good for you lifting weights. And you can do your cardio, mix it with weights. So don't be scared of picking up a weight and think you're going to be some kind of Bruce Almighty, muscles everywhere popping. Don't worry about that. So
the way to get toned arms without looking manly is to, I don't know. You can't tone your arms. The only way to tone your arms is to, well, just flap them about a bit, get the muscles nice and tight, and then they're toned. And if you're still a woman, then they'll look not manly because you're a woman and your arms are toned. But if you want defined arms that don't look like a man's arms, shave your arms, it's the hair, if that's why they look manly. But a defined arm, muscular arm, doesn't have to be manly.
Yeah, no, definitely.
I quite like a bit of definition of muscle on a woman's arm.
Yeah, just because you can see some muscle doesn't mean you're a man.
Yeah.
It really doesn't, and that's just the way...
It's very bigoted.
Yeah, it's like I said, stupid question and a very, very excellent question at the same time.
Yeah.
Because there's no direct answer where we could say, do this exercise and you will get toned arms. It's not like that. It's
And it all depends what you think is manly.
Yeah, so...
Men, muscles are not exclusive to men. Women have muscles too, you know.
Women have bigger muscles than some men have bigger muscles than women. It's the way it goes. It's just,
I know.
Like I said, it's a whole other conversation in itself, but it's just the way the image is put across, that if you've got muscles and you're a man,
yeah.
you look too manly. Hey, it looks manly, that. And just escape from that bullshit and just crack on. Like I said, for me, that's going to help you out. Diet, training, dropping some body fat, being in a calorie deficit, and just crack at it. And it depends what your threshold is to what your classes manly aren't.
Yeah, so stop being discriminatory to muscle people.
Don't worry about it too much.
Muscle women are women too.
Muscle women are women too. They are indeed. So thank you very much for the questions, Zoe. I hope we've answered it a little bit, and it's not, like I said, it's not just a question for Zoe, it's just a question for everyone.
There was a lot of questions coming from women saying, what would you do for this as a woman, for a woman, or how do I get toned? And it's like, toning's bullshit. Women's bodies are like 90% exactly the same as men's bodies, especially when it comes to exercise. They all move the same way. Yes, they look different in certain places, and yes, we have different hormone levels, ratios, but at the end of the day, all the muscles of your skeleton are almost exactly the same, mm-hmm. and they work exactly the same way, and our bodies work exactly the same way. So, right, that's the end of this episode. I feel like I was a bit spaced for this one.
Yeah, but it's the way it goes. I jabber on a little bit more because, like I said, there's subjects that Paul is going to know a lot more on, and I'm going to, well, I'll say I know subjects that Paul doesn't know a lot on, but that's very rare. So it's just a time where sometimes you'll be quiet, I'll be waffling on, and like you probably heard in the other podcast, when I do waffle on too much, don't worry about it, because Paul calls me up on it and he'll just say, yo, shut up.
Yeah, so shut up. And we'll see you next time. If you want to find us on social media, at Yo Buddha on Instagram. I've got a Yo Buddha YouTube channel, and I've got some Yo Buddha stuff on Facebook. And I'll explain where the Yo comes from in the next episode, I think. Yeah. Ian, what's your socials?
My social is just Instagram, at Bigger Picture Fitness. Came off Facebook. So just find me on there. Also, I will put a link in this one to my YouTube channel, which I didn't mention last time. So on there is me and Paul kicking it to making some good directional videos on lifting. So stick that in the bottom. Thank you very much again for listening, and we look forward to the next one.
Peace.